How's everybody doing out there? Morning, internet.
Live stream. Good to have you here. Balcony crew in the house. Like to have you. Good to have you.
Yep. Well, it was so much fun last week. We're going to do it again this week. we're having part two of preparing for Jesus' return. And so back up here, still out of retirement, Pastor Rick.
Now the booms. Oh, I don't have myself turned on, do I?
There you go.
All right, anybody want to throw any tomatoes?
We just want to clarify very quickly that this is all Judy Eckhart's fault. Judy's right there.
Yeah, Judy. That's the direction he's wrong.
Yep. And Lloyd, just as a reminder, if you could put my mic in his, so Rick can hear me. Gary, right behind her. Yep, that's like the axis of evil right there, kind of thing. So I just wanted to say real quick that, this was, there's a lot in this. Obviously, when we're talking about the end times and trying to dissect Matthew 24 and Revelation. So we really encourage you that if you missed last week's message, to go to our website, go to bmcc.cc. The archive is there. You can watch that to kind of catch yourself up, because we're going to jump right into the next part today. And just really what we reviewed last week about preparation is preparing is a good thing, right? God wants you to prepare. But this is certainly according to your own heart. Each person must do so according to their own faith. Prepare your own resources and according to your own conscience. So I'm going to do the Cliff Notes thing on here. That's true. and then just remember that when we study the end time scripture, that we give foremost priority to what Jesus said. Everything else has to be viewed through the lens of what he said. And then look for the three witnesses. If you're building a doctrine, if you're building something that you want to build your life on, you look for multiple witnesses from multiple biblical authors. First and foremost, what did Jesus say? What did a New Testament writer, one of the apostles, say about it? And is there an Old Testament foreshadowing or type that gives credence to that idea? So that's how you kind of approach the scriptures, and that way it keeps you from stumbling or getting carried off into all kinds of craziness or lunacy or things that aren't true, to the best of your ability, right?
Amen.
Amen. So Matthew 24, we are going to read all of Matthew 24, but not yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, so Matthew 24, Rick, do you want to talk? Just as I cycle through through the slides, do you want to explain why Matthew 24 is so important?
Yes.
Great.
I mean, you pretty much already said it. You know, I just want to make very clear, you know, that today really is my opinion. When God called me to preach, he said, all I want you to do is study my word and share with the people what I'm telling you. And that's what I've done for the last 40-some years. And, you know, and some of you appreciate the personal examples I give, and others haven't, and they're no longer with us. That's just the way that it is. So, you know, but this particular topic, I have really held back in terms of my own personal interpretation and preparation because of my beliefs, except that now Judy has come and Gary and said, we feel it's really important that you share this with us, because it's all over social media, which, you know, some of you know I go on Facebook once in a while, and sometimes you have to wait for a couple of weeks until I get back to you, but I will eventually get there. But that's all that I have. I have the Facebook. I don't have the Instagram. I don't have all that stuff, right? And I said the because I thought it would get a laugh out of Maya here. But then last week, Maya's telling me that, like, she has, I guess you have the Instagram, is that right? So, you know, she's like, if you subscribe to anything religious, you're being bombarded with things about the end times, which I don't do, right? I didn't know that. I didn't know when Judy said, I'm like, oh, that's weird. So, but then Maya's a second witness. Is there a third witness? All right. So I guess, you know, it's time for me to share my opinion, but this is not really what I know of anybody else has taught. I have spent, you know, 40-some years just studying the Bible and living my life preparing for Jesus' return. That's it. And sharing what God's taught me is part of what Jesus said as we prepare for the end times. A good servant will feed my household and with the food and be ready for when the master comes back to the house. And we're just kind to share, you know, feed the household until Jesus comes back with God's word.
Amen.
So today we're, you know, everybody say what? Say, everybody say, this is Rick's opinion.
This is Rick's opinion.
This is Rick's interpretation of Scripture. It's not doctrine. It's his best shot at trying to put into place his understanding of Scripture. This may or may not be what I do. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's no question, I'm going to start meddling today. I'm going to say things that are extremely offensive to some people. Right? It just happens. I've done it all my life. And it is what it is. The cookie crumbles and falls where it may.
Right. But why is that good? I mean, I think that's important.
Yeah.
Not for you to... we don't set out to intentionally offend people.
No.
No. I mean, we set out to present the truth.
Right.
According to our best stab at our interpretation of it. But I certainly, my experience, and I'm sure you have too, is that over the years, that the hardest obstacle for a believer, especially, or even non-believers, to come to the truth is allowing God's word to transform their mind into how God thinks, and rather than try, what a lot of people try to do is make God's word fit what they already think.
Or, yeah, exactly.
And the only way you overcome that is by wrestling with it and being presented with something that causes you to think at the very least and wrestle with it to say, well, is that really, and I know you have said it and you've taught Jenny and I that on any given subject, on any Sunday, hey, if you read, you do the work yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Don't take your word for it. Do the work yourself. And if you find something that says, well, I don't know about that, you know, come talk about it. We love a good discussion.
Yeah.
Love digging into God's word and see what he does.
Even better, dig out a concordance and do a word study on it. Find out what God's word really says about it.
Yep.
You know? Yeah. So let it challenge you. Because God's word, the totality of God's word, is like this big jigsaw puzzle. And, you know, and people throughout the ages have had come up these I call them one-verse wonders. Look at what I got, a revelation, you know? And where's the three witnesses?
Right.
You know? Anyway.
Anyway, all that was for our quick intro.
Yeah. So, okay, so we already talked about this. There's three main views of the end times: a pre-tribulation rapture, a mid-tribulation rapture, and a post-tribulation rapture. I'll tell you right now, I kind of believe in a mid-tribulation rapture. Kind of. It could be different, like I said. I could be different, but we're going to look through scriptures, and we're going to see that, especially in Matthew 24, Christians will have some tribulation before they are raptured. Rapture is a Christianized word for meaning being caught up to be with Jesus. And we're going to be talking about that as we go through this. But true believers have this thing inside of them that says, one day I'm going to get caught up to be with Jesus. You know, a trumpet's going to sound, angels are going to appear, the dead are going to rise, and zoop, there I go. Hallelujah. So true believers have that inside. And we're going to be talking about the fact, here I'm preaching already, that from all of Jesus' parables, the main proof that somebody is truly his, part of the ecclesia, ecclesia, called out ones, the elect, the chosen, is that they prepare for his return. And when he returns, they're found expecting him and doing what he told them to do before he left. Do I get an amen?
Amen. And they do it with courage and hope, not dismay or fear.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. We're like, Maranatha, come quickly, Jesus.
Right.
All right.
So we'll probably come back to this part next week.
Yeah.
We'll get more into that. We want to get into the application.
John 16, Jesus is preparing for the end of his life. He says, you know, these things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. Everybody say, in Christ I have peace. Why worry? In Christ you have peace. It doesn't matter what happens. Oh, you changed this thing. We didn't read. In the world you have what? But take what? Are you going to be courageous? Or are you going to be a wimpy? I've never said Christianity is for the weak. I've always said Christianity takes a special kind of strength and courage to follow Jesus. Amen. So hopefully this will give you courage. It'll inspire you and say, I'm going to fight the fight.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
I have overcome the world. Keep changing. I have overcome the world. Say, Jesus has overcome the world. All right. Now we can go on.
You sure? You sure?
Now you went and changed it. So there's, okay, again, this is my opinion. This is how I see it. We're going to come back and look at all the scriptures. But first of all, the whole world has heard the gospel. These are the six signs that have to happen before Jesus returns. First of all, the whole world has to have heard the gospel. All right? Check that box. We can check that box. Secondly, every decision for Christ has been made. All those of the ecclesia, all those who are going to be saved, have been saved. Can we check that box? We cannot check that box. No. I mean, look it. There's people here in church. I mean, every Sunday, you know, somebody says, yes, I'm going to give my life to Jesus. You know, he's still working. You know, independent churches like this all around the world are the fastest growing churches in the world. Okay. Third, every nation has laws against Christianity. Can we check that box?
That's... In your opinion.
You know, when you say, what do you mean by against Christianity? And we're going to be talking about this as we go through here. How this is going to progress. How... You know the old saying, you put a frog in water and then you turn up the heat and he doesn't know when it's getting hot, so he stays there. You know, that's how the deceiver works. And Christians are going to be caught in this pot of water and that he's going to get turned up gradually. And Cliff has been saying he's going to have a slide. God's not a God that who's going to, I gotcha, you know. Jesus said over and over again, I have forewarned you. I have told you. I have forewarned you. Be on the alert, Paul said. You know, so this is not like something that we're not going to know about. The question is where we've got our eyes on. We got our eyes on the world, we got our eyes on money, or we got our eyes on Jesus. Okay, so, okay, I've been saying this since 1981 we started the church, right? That sooner or later, in 1981 I said this, sooner or later there's going to be a rise of homosexuality in the world and in the United States of America where those who reject that or hate that or say, I misspoke there, those who say that is wrong and perverse and against God's law, they will be hated by the world. Now, I said that in 1981, right? And I've said it pretty much every year since. And I've been watching this happen. And so there are now laws, not against Christianity, but laws that promote homosexuality. And if you dare to say it's not natural, it's not right, it's against God's law, all of a sudden you have become somebody who is looked at with derision, and in many cases, hatred. The heat's being turned up. Now, secondly, okay, we have not yet come to a place where we have to reject Christ or Christianity. I'll get to that. But it's not going to happen like bango, it's going to happen like, let's turn the heat up a little more. Let's turn the heat up a little more. Let's see what we can get away with. Let's see what they're willing to do. Let's see what these so-called Christians will hang on to their Bibles and their guns. Let's just see what they will do. Let's make some more laws. I told you I was going to meddle.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. And just, I mean, just, I just want to make that clear. Like, what are we talking about? I mean, like, in other countries, what they're talking about is if you do not accept the LGBTQ plus lifestyle and actively promote it, then you're forbidden or you are removed from having any government protections, tax exempt status, you can't meet as a church, all those things.
Right.
Now, we haven't seen that here yet.
If you want to get a job teaching biology or teaching a science in the public school system, and they're going to ask you, so do you believe in evolution? And you say, well, you know, I believe in creation, but I understand that through selective breeding, things have changed. You're not going to get a second interview. There are things, there are attitudes that secular humanism is pushing through the government, through media, and through the educational system that are gradually turning up the heat. All right. So, all nations hate and abandon Israel. Whoop! And that's why everybody's saying, you know, the social media is blowing up. I did a mess. I think maybe my second last message was why Israel is so important to God. That one's only like maybe a year old, if that maybe. So, anyway, who knows? Time goes quick. But anyway, we will absolutely see all nations turn against Israel, including the United States. So far, the eagle of Revelation has protected Israel, has stood against all the other nations of the world to say, no, Israel has a right to that little piece of land as small as Rhode Island. They have a right to exist. And the rest of the world is saying, no. All right, let's go on. Lawlessness is prevalent. Jesus in Matthew 24 said, before I return, the love of most will grow cold and lawlessness will prevail.
Can you define lawlessness?
I will.
Thank you.
Yes. Lawlessness, number one, is the law of God. God has laws. If I jumped off of this stage, I would not fly up to the ceiling. There is a law called gravity, and I'd fall like a rock, probably more than I would have 10 years ago. There are also laws of the government. Paul in Romans chapter 13 said that true government, I'm going to be talking about rogue government. Rogue governments are those who make laws against Christianity and push laws that are against God's laws. All right? I know you're deep in thought here. But the true government, Paul said, bears the sword to protect the innocent and those who follow God's law. When government does the opposite of that and persecutes those who are following God's law and are innocent. Let's take, for example, just was it a couple of years ago? I think it was Oregon that passed a law. You can steal anything you want as long as it's not over $1,000. Well, hey. That TV's $9.99. I got it.
That's permission.
You know, so that's a government that is not protecting the innocent, the shop owners. That's a government that has put them out there as sheep for the slaughter. I don't want to digress too much. We got a lot to cover.
Right, but it's good to have an example of those kind of things.
It gives, okay.
It gives a concrete anchor point.
Okay. So I'm okay.
You're good. We can move on.
All right. Okay. And then the sixth major sign of Jesus' return is the mark of the beast. That is rogue government. All right, can we check that box? No. All right. Oh, I didn't ask it. Can we check number five? Half a check. It's going that way, right? There are absolutely, and we're going to be talking about this as we go through here, but there, you know, most of the world, if you haven't been out of the United States, if you haven't been in a third world, if you haven't been in Asia, someplace where Christians are, if they go publicly to worship like this, you know, there's a good chance they're going to get bombed and killed. There are laws against carrying a Bible, laws against praying to Jesus in public. Laws against sharing the gospel. There's laws all over the whole world.
That was chilling when we our first trip to India, when we stopped in Dubai. We had a layover in Dubai for 12 hours, and we spent some time there. And yeah. You know, coming out of India and then going into the opulence that is Dubai, which is just mind blowing. Right. But we sat down in the big mall there to have lunch, and remember the guy said, he was with Vijay, but he said, "Don't pray here." You know, I mean, we did. Just don't bow your head and pray. He says, the moment they see that, they're going to come get you. You know, and for us coming out of the West, the Western Church. That you can't even fathom that.
Yeah.
You know, the least we have is, is anybody watching while we bow our heads at the diner? But there, it's a whole different thing. You know,
yeah. I would say that everyone in this room has no idea how insulated you are from what we're talking about today. England. Yeah. If you've been to England, I was sitting should I tell my stories? Sitting in the subway. Sitting in the subway, had my NRA hat on, right? in England, in London, we're talking about, right? And what's the NRA? That's the National Rifle Association. Really? You're part of the basket of deplorables? I said, proudly so. And then another guy from Canada said, I can't believe you're wearing that hat here in England, right? So anyway.
We're really going to get sidetracked. I saw a meme the other day.
A meme?
A meme, yeah.
All right.
Okay, giving you some lingo. But it was from somebody in Europe who said, Americans, you know, I've come around to your way of thinking. I've discovered the wonder of air conditioning. And one of the comments was, where do you discover guns?
All right, to prepare for Jesus' return, plan for the best and plan for the worst. And I mentioned this last week. Okay, I'm going to just say it right now. As we progress toward Jesus' return, there are two tracks. There have been two tracks since I started preaching. This was something I believe God just revealed to me while I was in the Spirit. He revealed to me two tracks. And on the one track are true believers, and on the other track is the world. And in 81, they were pretty close. And he revealed to me that as time comes toward his coming, they are going to get wider and wider and wider, and there's going to have to be a choice now, which track am I on? When the tracks are that close that you can put a foot on each track, we're good to go. But what happens when they get wider and wider and wider? You're going to have to choose which one you're going to go with, right? Cliff, I might need help.
Need help here.
But hopefully you can understand that that's going to become your choice. What am I going to do? And why? Because the one track is the world, and we're going to see these scriptures. That world is going to have unbelievable, never before experienced prosperity and peace. And on the other track, there are going to be Christians who are benefiting from the world's prosperity and peace. But as that track gets wider, choices are going to have to be made. Which way am I going to go here? And ultimately, to lose the peace and prosperity, there's going to have to... So anyway, here's my plan for the best. As long as you can walk on both tracks, do so. I wrote a book about it, right? How to Manage Money God's Way. That I talk about... I'm not trying to push a book. I'm just saying that there's a way to plan for God's blessing in such a way that you can't even believe how prosperous and how good he wants you to have life. And there are those who do. Well, I don't have a plan. I'm not prepared. I'm not doing anything. So you're not taking advantage of this period of time while there is peace and prosperity. And you're allowed to as a Christian. There will come a day, if you believe the Bible, if you believe that Jesus was right, there will come a day that your plan for the worst is going to have to be activated. What's your plan for the worst? Now, again, I'm just saying that my life, the way that I have lived my life to plan for the best and plan for the worst. I've got the most beautiful wife in the world. I've got the greatest grandkids in the world. I got the best dog in the world. Where's my dog? Colin came up on the scooter. Was I going to get Owen today? No. You know, but I mean, I'm not boasting. I'm saying when you get a plan, plan is the first step to preparation. Oh, yeah. Planning is the first step. You're not prepared if you don't have a plan. I'm getting some looks here.
They're thinking.
Huh?
They're thinking.
Yeah. Even Cliff's giving me the ugly eye. No. Okay. So get your plan. That's the most important part of journaling. And I know every message I talk about journaling. If you want to know God's plan, you know, pray and write down the thoughts that come to you afterwards. And if you know, so anyway, that's another whole subject, isn't it? But plan for the best, plan for the worst. So I've lived my life planning for the best, and you know, I don't know one thing I would change. I mean, you know, I've journaled, I've written down stuff. God's given me the desires of my heart. I'm happy. Hallelujah. But we've also planned for the worst. Because I believe the Bible, and in my interpretation of the Bible, I put into action what I believe needs to happen. All right, so this is what you're all waiting for. You want the specifics, right?
Right.
Yeah, we know people are good planners. We know people are planners. Right. You all read the Proverbs, you know God wants you to plan. All right. First of all, prepare for persecution. Let's read together Revelation 12, 9 through 11. This, in my opinion, is the only way you can understand what's going on in the world. You have to know these three verses. Let's go. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. What's he doing? Deceives the whole world. Wow! Can you imagine the whole world being deceived? Look around. People can identify as dogs if they want. Men can identify as women if they want. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Where does this stuff come from? People in their right minds don't say that kind of stuff or believe that kind of stuff. There has to be a demonic deception. Oh, don't go away mad. There has to be a demonic deception. Elon Musk called it the woke virus. Uh-oh, here come the darts. Right? But I mean, you know, how else are you going to say demonic obsession? It's a virus. It's infective. It's contagious. People are going around coughing on you with it. All right, so where was I? Oh, first the time. Devil, he deceives the whole world. You ready? He was thrown down to the earth, and the angels were thrown down with him. That happened when Jesus rose from the dead. He went and got blessed by the Father, went down to hell, defeated Satan and hell there, brought the keys of death and hell back up to heaven, and there the devil, who still had access to accuse the brethren, was cast down once and for all to the earth. Hallelujah, here we are with the devil. Fun times. Playing with my head, trying to get into my head. Trying to make me believe that people are animals and boys are girls. You think that's funny, Asher? I mean, there's people in this room who think you shouldn't be saying that. That's not right. Satan deceives the whole world. All right. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, are you reading? I can't hear if you're reading. Are you reading? Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been cast down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. All right, so I don't have time to go through all that, but I just told you what we just read, right? He was cast down. He no longer can go to the Father and accuse you before God, right? So when the devil comes in your head and says, oh, you're a lousy person and you're never going to be saved and you're not good enough to go to heaven, tell him to get out because he's been cast down and he can't accuse God, so why is he trying to accuse me? All right. I don't think we read the last verse.
Well, you said you didn't have time.
This is important. Instead of they, I want you to say we. And we overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of our testimony. And we did not love our life even when faced with death. That's important stuff. There are believers all around the world right now who are having to fulfill being faced with death if they dare to give a testimony that they're Christians, that they believe in Jesus Christ. We are insulated from it. 100,000 minimum every year are killed because they did not love their life even when faced with death. They would not reject Jesus Christ as their Lord. All right. Okay, prepare for persecution. Now we request you, brethren, together and aloud, now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to meet him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. So what are the Thessalonians thinking? What are they saying? We missed it. Jesus came and we missed it. He's saying, don't believe it. It has not happened yet. Let's read on. Let no one in any way deceive you. So who's trying to deceive you? The devil. And he uses people to tell you weird things, crazy things, things that don't have three witnesses in the Bible. All right. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. I've gone into a lot more depth on this passage in my series that I've done End Times. We can't take the time right now. I'm just throwing stuff out at you. The apostasy has come. Remember I told you last week? Churches are empty unless they're preaching that Jesus what? Unless they're preaching that Jesus did what? Died on the cross and rose again from the dead, and that he's coming back again, right? Those churches are full. The churches where ministers don't believe that, they might not even acknowledge it, but they were taught that in seminary. Okay, that's last week. All right. No, wait a minute. I'm still talking about this here. So, you know, when I went to college, they said we have now entered the post-Christendom era. Okay, what's that mean? That means that all over the world there was churches. Guess what those churches are now? Museums. Theaters. Tourist attractions. We were at one in Ireland, right? So, the apostasy has come. We are the remnant. If you know in your heart that Jesus is coming back again, you're part of the ecclesia, the ones called out. You are part of the ones that the Bible calls the remnant. The little small groups meeting in China in homes undercover, they're the remnant. The ones in the Middle East, in India, sneaking Christianity, trying not to be caught, they're the remnant. The ones in Africa, where the Muslims are trying to kill them, and they still won't reject Jesus Christ or renounce him, they're the remnant. Am I preaching or sharing?
50-50. 6-7.
Okay, so two things have to happen. The apostasy has to come, check. The man of lawlessness has been revealed. No. He's the guy who ultimately is going to say, unless you take the mark. Now, what is the mark? We're not going to get into that today. But you will know very clearly that the government is saying that unless you reject Jesus Christ and Christianity, because it is a threat, and it is a hate religion. Unless you reject it, you cannot buy or sell. Now think about your retirement accounts. Think about my retirement account. It's all like X's and O's. It's out there somewhere. Right? All right, I think I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, he has somehow, the government has gone rogue, and they are going to say, you cannot buy or sell unless you reject Christianity because it is a hate religion. All right, let's go on. Prepare for, that's a great segue, right?
There you go.
Persecution, what happens next after persecution? Loss of income. Okay, let's read it together, Revelation 13. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor. In other words, nobody gets out of this, right? The free men and the slaves to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Is the technology there for this? Beep, you're good. Beep, you're good. The technology's there, folks. What's not there yet is the law. All right. Remember, God doesn't play gotcha, okay? You're going to have to renounce Christianity and Christ as a hate religion and believe that unless you accept homosexuality, unless you accept Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and 2, homosexuality is going to be the number one issue that the wise in their own minds is going to push on the rest of the world. So, in my opinion, Jesus said it's going to be as the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, well, Sodom's problem wasn't that they were homosexuals and they forced everybody to participate like Lot. Their problem was lack of hospitality. Come on. Okay. So what are you going to have to do in order to buy and sell and have income? Reject Jesus, reject Christianity. Okay. Oh, okay. You want to hear more about this?
Just so you know, you got 9 minutes.
I got 9 minutes. All right. We'll read just a little bit faster. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. I would love to just spend some time talking about the times and the epochs. That is such an interesting study. You have no need of anybody to explain it to you anyway. That's what it says here. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night, while they are saying peace and safety. Then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that the day would overtake you like a thief. All right. So, let's go back to the peace and safety. We got a taste of this during COVID, where people are just flourishing. You know, we thought, the world's gonna come apart. You have a video of the toilet paper. You can play that while I'm talking here. You know, we're wearing masks. We're all safe. I got my internet. I can work from home. I got my cell phone. I can talk to my peeps. Life's good, man. I don't even have to go to work anymore. Only problem is I gotta buy my own toilet paper because I can't do it at work. You wonder what caused that rush? It was that people were not doing their constitutional at work anymore. Now, I guess they had no trees in their backyard. I don't know. What I'm saying is that the world's track is going to be like, man, times have never been this good. In Matthew 24, he says, it's going to be like the days of Noah. People are having parties. They're marrying and giving in marriage, and they're just happy because it's the roaring 20s. Man, things have never been this good before. My accounts are up. I got everything I ever wanted to buy. Man, is life good. And all I had to do was say, Christianity's a hate religion. That's an easy choice, man. I mean, what would I have? Go on to the next one. Where are we at here? Prepare for war, loss of the grid. All right, so if you can't buy and sell, that means you can't have an internet account. Right? It means you can't have a checking account. It means you can't have a retirement account. I mean, you know, we could go on and on and on. What happens if the grid goes down? What if everybody else has the grid, but you lose it because you're refusing to say Christianity is a hate religion? All right, let's go on. I think I said enough. For there will be a great tribulation. Oh, this is Matthew 24. How much time do I have?
5 minutes.
5 minutes. What, you know, in Matthew 24, maybe we'll go over this next week. I don't know. Can you take this one more week, or is this like, come on. This is just depressing. This is just depressing. It's not depressing when things are going great. Okay, so what the plan for with at least, okay. So Jesus says in Matthew 24 that there will be such great tribulation that if those days were not come short, even the elect would not be able to be saved. Who are the elect? The ecclesia. Who's the ecclesia? The remnant. Those who refuse to say Christianity is a hate religion. Those who say, I don't care if you take my money. I don't care if you take my retirement account. I don't care if I can't work. I'm going to serve Jesus. Jesus said that it's going to get that bad that if it was not cut short, the elect, the chosen, the remnant could not be saved. So when I read that, I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to prepare for 1 month. That's my opinion. I told you this is my opinion. Didn't I? This is Rick's opinion. If you don't come in a month, Lord, then you have a plan. I'll just go with the flow. But I'm doing my best to prepare the way you told. Like every parable that you ever said, you said, you know, be prepared, be on the alert for when the master comes back. I want to see that you prepared and that you believe that I'm coming back. The best way you can prove that you believe he's coming back is to be prepared for it. All right, so pantry. Nancy and I, we've always lived this way. This is the way we live. We always have a month's pretty much supply of food, don't we? Yep. She cans, right? I hunt. Without hunting, there'd be no meat. They don't know if I'm kidding or not. I mean, that's like a big joke.
You never kid.
I'm never kidding. Almost everything I say, there's some sarcasm in there somewhere. Right? Now, I mean, hey, if you've never hunted and you're relying on wild meat to survive, it's not going to happen. Same way with growing vegetables. You don't know how difficult it is to grow vegetables. If you're not growing vegetables, you have no idea how hard that is. Everything in the world wants to eat your vegetables. The same way with wild game. Everything, every predator wants to eat them. You're just another predator in their, you know. So anyway, there's skills, there's, you know. And so I believe everybody should have a safe. I believe that. And it should be big and heavy and bolted to the floor. And in that safe, there should be guns and ammunition and gold and silver and cash. For what? For 1 month? And because if you can't access your X's and O's in the cloud, you've at least got something you can barter. In my opinion, if the grid goes down, 22 ammo is going to be the best thing you can have. I'll trade you a box of 22s for a squirrel. Okay. Water supply. Right? You need water. You need water. I mean, what if it gets that bad that the local townships won't even supply water to those who won't reject Christianity as a hate religion?
Then you got 3 days.
3 minutes?
3 days. No, if that happens, then you have 3 days.
Relax, we got 3 days. I could probably talk for 3 days about this. I mean, this is stuff that we're kind of passionate about because it's our lifestyle. It's been our lifestyle for 45, 50 years. We just live this way, knowing that you cannot count. Okay, I consider the electric grid a house of cards. And our whole culture is built on that house of cards. You know what a house of cards is, right? You know what that is? Yeah, you take a deck of playing cards and you build a house and they have to stay upright. And then all of a sudden, like Jesus said, like the big bad wolf, what am I going to do now? So anyway, for us, we live out in the country. We have a well. We have to have a generator. I keep one month supply of fuel for my generator. That's what I do. Back in 2000, we lost our power. The power line coming into our house, a tree fell on. So we were the last ones to get power. After 2 days, Nancy and the girls split. She will refute this. I say we lost power for 7 days. She says it was only 3 days. I say you weren't there. That broken power line actually fell down on the house. We live in a log house and started a fire. If I hadn't been there to put that out, we would have lost our house. Oh, well, that's another whole story. But anyway, survival plans, I already talked about that, right? Yeah. I mean, go to Proverbs. This is the proverb in Proverbs 28. If every Bible I've ever owned, I have underlined it. I've written in the margins. You know, I even talk about it in my book. He who tills his land will have plenty of food, but he who follows empty pursuits will have poverty and plenty. Right now, like in my book, I talk about the fact that everybody's got fallow land. It doesn't mean that it's your backyard and you're not planting. But you've got things that you could do, talents, abilities that you're not using. But he who knows himself, herself, and looks and journals and finds out, who am I? What have you made me to be? How have you made me to live in this world? And uses that, you'll have plenty of food. If you don't do that, you'll be, what's it say? Poverty.
Poverty.
In plenty.
In plenty.
Plenty of poverty. Huh. All right. Actually, looking at his watch, I guess my time is up. All right. We already went through that. We checked those checks. Are you prepared for Jesus' return? All right. So we're going to wind this up. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Rick finally stopped talking. All right, would you please bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? We want to give everybody the opportunity here. If you would not say, if you cannot say in your heart, I know that Jesus Christ is alive in me. I am looking forward to his return. If you've never said, Jesus Christ, come into my heart, I give you my life. I'd like you to take that opportunity and do it now. I'd like you to look up at me, let our eyes meet, wave at me that I can see you looking at me for that reason. And I'm going to agree together with you that today's the day you're opening your heart up to Jesus Christ. And you're going to let him help you prepare for his return. Anybody here today making that decision? Look up at me, wave at me so I can see your eyes looking at me for that reason. Anybody here today doing that, making that decision? Please pray with me together and aloud, everybody together. Lord Jesus Christ, I do believe you died on that cross to pay for my sins. I do believe that you rose from the dead after 3 days and three nights. And I do believe you're coming back again. I open my heart. Please lead me and guide me. And help me prepare.
And help me prepare.
For your return.
For your return.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.